Good evening, everyone. How are you tonight? I hope you're doing well, and I sincerely mean that. And I hope you're focused upon the Lord this evening. I hope you're expecting something special from His Word. In spite of illness, in spite of fatigue, I hope that even in this moment, you're looking to the Lord and you're saying, Lord, can you give me something special, something that will meet a need in my heart and life tonight through the preaching of Your Word? The theme of the service so far has been following in the footsteps of Jesus. We will follow Him wherever His footsteps may lead. And by the providential direction of the Lord, that's exactly the theme of the message tonight. So if you have a Bible with you, would you join me in finding John chapter 21? And let's see what God has for us here in John chapter 21. The history books tell us that in May of 1757, there was a battle fought between the armies of Prussia and the armies of Austria, right around the city of Prague. And naturally, today, that battle is remembered as the Battle of Prague. At a crucial turning point in that battle, it appeared that the armies of Prussia were being scattered across the battlefield. They were confused, they had broken ranks, and at that critical moment, their highest commander on the field, Field Marshal Kurt von Schwerin, stepped up to the forefront of the battle, and he cried out these words, "Let all brave-hearted Prussians follow me." And at that moment, he was struck down and killed, and he left this world. But inspired by the bravery of their leader, and inspired by his final word of command, the Prussian army regrouped, they pressed forward, and they did in fact win a victory that day at the Battle of Prague. Now here in John chapter 21, we see the final command of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as recorded in the entirety of the four Gospels. You might expect to find here in John chapter 21, at the end of the four Gospels, the Great Commission. Well, as a matter of fact, Jesus' Great Commission to His disciples is given at some point, in some way, near the end of each one of the four Gospels. However, at the end of John's Gospel, and at the end of the four Gospels in their entirety, Jesus' last command is not, in fact, the Great Commission. It is simply these two words, "Follow me." And this command is so important, Jesus said it twice. He repeated it. He said, "Follow me," and then He said, "Follow thou me." That command of Jesus is repeated 18 times throughout the four Gospels to various individuals. At the beginning of His public ministry, Jesus found Philip, the disciple, following John the Baptist at that time. And as a disciple of John the Baptist, Jesus turned to Philip and He said to Philip, "Follow me." And Philip did exactly that. A little bit later on, Jesus found a man named Matthew sitting as a tax collector. And Jesus said to Matthew, "Follow me." And the Bible says he arose and followed Him. Sometime later, Jesus found Peter and James and John at their daily work of fishing by the Sea of Galilee. It's interesting that Jesus had already called these three disciples. Peter, James, and John had already made commitments to follow Jesus as a rabbi, and yet they needed a recommitment. Jesus challenged them to a further step of dedication. And as they were at work at their regular routine of fishing, Jesus said to these men, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they left their nets, and they followed Him. Sometime later, Jesus recognized that His disciples were being motivated by pride and by self-interest. They were arguing about who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus said to them, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." So the command to follow Jesus is not just something that we have to face, something that we have to deal with one time in our lives. No, sometimes we need to hear a repetition of this command. And here in John chapter 21, you know the story. Peter, the unofficial leader of the 12 disciples, after a time of failure and discouragement, has decided to go back to his old routine of fishing. The old way of life that Jesus had previously called him from and said, "Peter, come, follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men." And there he is back at the Sea of Galilee in John chapter 21. He's working hard at what he knows best, and he's a failure. even at that. And then Jesus shows up and everything changes. Let's pick up the story in John 21, verse 17. He, Jesus, saith unto him, Peter, the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Verse 21, Peter seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Now the question that Peter had to face in John chapter 21, and the question that all those disciples had to face as they followed Peter back to their old way of life, was not, would they make a decision to follow Jesus? No, they had already made that decision. The decision they needed to make at this time was, would they continue following Jesus? Would they follow on? It wasn't just a question of could Peter follow Jesus walking on the water, but could he continue to keep his focus upon Jesus and continue walking on the water by faith? The question here is not whether these disciples would make a decision to leave their nets and follow Jesus. The question was, could they stay away from their nets and keep on following Jesus? They had already been able to say, I have decided to follow Jesus. But could they truly say, no turning back? And for you and me tonight, it's the same question. All of us have made some kind of a decision to follow Jesus. That's why we're here tonight. But the question we need to answer is, will we follow on? We have decided to follow Jesus, but how about no turning back? No turning back. The question for you and me tonight, as we've made decisions of faithfulness in our giving, made decisions of faithfulness in our hour with God, in our 40-day challenge, various other opportunities that have been put before us, the question is not, will we make some kind of a decision to follow, but will we follow on? What about these early followers of Jesus? Did they follow on? Allow me to remind you of the history of some of these men after the pages of the Gospels and after the pages of Acts came to a conclusion, some of the things we don't read about in the pages of Scripture. We do know about Stephen, the first martyr, stoned by the Jews. But at the time that he was stoned and put to death, he prayed for those who were persecuting him, including Saul, who was standing by. He prayed, God, do not lay this sin to their charge. He was faithful to death. He not only followed, but he followed on. Then Saul became a convert. His name was changed to Paul. He had a tremendous ministry all throughout the time period of the book of Acts, to the point where the emperor Nero himself decreed that Paul should be apprehended and killed. They put Paul the apostle to death by beheading. Why beheading, you might ask? Well, remember, Paul had already been martyred. The Jews had already killed him once. They had stoned him. He went to the third heaven. He saw unspeakable things. And the next day he came back and kept on preaching. Perhaps they said, we should behead him, just so he can't keep preaching, just in case. But you may not know that when Paul was apprehended, the emperor Nero sent two of his officers to arrest Paul. And those two officers, when they came into Paul's presence, according to Christian history and Christian tradition, those two officers asked Paul, please, pray for us. Paul did. And then they arrested him. He was put to death. And a short time later, those two officers came to Christ and were baptized near Paul's sepulcher. Paul followed, and he followed on. He was faithful unto death. What about the Apostle Peter, whose story is, is highlighted here in John chapter 21. The Apostle Peter, at the end of his life, also in the city of Rome, spent 9 months in the notorious Mamertine prison in total darkness for 9 months and manacled to a post the entire time. He was being tortured all those 9 months before he was finally crucified for the testimony of his Lord, Jesus Christ. But during those 9 months of imprisonment, he preached the gospel. He converted his jailers, and 47 others came to Christ because of his preaching in that prison. He was, in fact, faithful unto death. He did follow, and he followed on. What about Andrew, Peter's brother? He was a missionary to Greece, and in Greece he was apprehended. He was crucified for 3 days. His suffering continued, unspeakable agonies for 3 long days upon a cross. And what did Andrew do during those 3 days? He preached the gospel to the point that the onlookers who were watching him be crucified had a change of heart and begged for his release. But he died upon that cross, a martyr. He followed and followed on. He was faithful unto death. What about the Apostle James, whose death is actually recorded in the pages of Acts? You've heard about him being killed with the sword, but did you know that on the way to his execution, one of his false accusers, a man who had spoken lies about the Apostle James, just so he would be put to death, followed him to the place of execution, expecting to mock him for his weakness and his misery, and the whole time he observed James joyful and triumphant. And he was saved. And that very day, because of his testimony of trust in Jesus Christ, that false accuser was put to death with the same sword that killed James. James was faithful unto death. He not only followed, but he followed on. Luke, the man who wrote the book of Luke, the gospel according to Luke, and also the book of Acts in your Bible, tradition says he was hung from an olive tree in Greece. And as he was being killed, he preached to his onlookers until his last breath. James, the son of Alphaeus, the story is told that he was thrown from a high tower, that as his body crashed to the pavement below, many bones in his body were broken, yet he was not killed. And he lay there on the pavement, literally in a pool of his own blood, and to the crowd gathered around, he preached the gospel until they were so infuriated, they took clubs and ended his life. He was faithful unto death. He followed and followed on. Perhaps you've heard of the disciple named Bartholomew, also known as Nathanael. He preached as far as modern-day Azerbaijan. One account of his martyrdom says that he was skinned alive. And as his living body had the skin torn from it, he preached the gospel to the people who were tormenting him, until he was no longer able to speak. And the others, the disciple named Philip, preaching in a city called Hierapolis in modern-day Turkey. He led a wife of a Roman proconsul to faith in Christ, and because of that, he was flogged, imprisoned, and then crucified. At that time, he was 87 years old. Simon Zelotes, the story is he was sawn in half, preaching the gospel in Persia. Doubting Thomas became a fearless evangelist and a church planter in Syria and India, killed with lances by 4 soldiers. The disciple known as Thaddeus was crucified in a town called Edessa in Greek, and Mark, who wrote the gospel according to Mark, dragged to death in the city of Alexandria in northern Africa, his body torn apart as he was dragged through the streets. Finally, the beloved apostle, the man who wrote this epistle, John, was boiled in oil. In a vat of oil, he was boiled in an attempt to end his life. However, that suffering did not take his life. His persecutors didn't know what to do with him, so they exiled him to an island where he wouldn't have much of an audience because they knew he would continue to preach the gospel. And though he may not have had many friends or anyone to talk to, he communed with Jesus, he walked with Jesus, and he wrote these words of Jesus, as recorded in Revelation 2:10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. It occurs to me that my sacrifices that I've made for the Lord are not that remarkable. All of us have sacrificed something for the Lord. I know we have. We've been persecuted in some small way. I know we have. And yet, the example of these men is remarkable. They followed Jesus and followed on. And we look at those words of the Lord Jesus in Revelation chapter 2, and we say, that's an impossible standard. How can I be faithful unto death? How could I possibly live up to the example that is set for me by these men? But remember, those men weren't always faithful. Have you read the Gospels? Do you know these men? These men were, you could always depend upon these men to not be dependable. They were consistently inconsistent. And yet Jesus made all the difference to the point that they died these awful martyrs' death and yet with great spiritual victory. So I want to give you a few observations here from John chapter 21. And this will be quick, just a few quick observations here regarding how can I be faithful unto death as these men were? Well, I think the answer is right here in what Jesus said to Peter at this time. The obvious question in Acts 21 is, what is Peter going to do? Which way is he going to go? He's at a crossroads. Is he going to continue being Simon? Or is he going to go ahead and become Peter? And Jesus said, the answer is right here. Follow me. Follow me. So here are the three steps, as revealed to us by Jesus himself in his conversation with Peter, the three steps in not only following Jesus, but following on. Number one, love Jesus honestly. Number two, obey Jesus immediately. Number three, focus on Jesus exclusively. Love Jesus honestly. Obey Jesus immediately. Focus on Jesus exclusively. First of all, notice in verse 17, Jesus is asking Peter a question three times. Just as Peter, a few days previous, had denied his love for his Savior three times, Jesus asks him three times, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And that right there is the key for you and me right now. The only question that we need to answer is, do I love Jesus? That's the only question Jesus asked. Jesus didn't come to Peter and say, Peter, do you have the strength to do what I've called you to do? Peter, can you preach to thousands? Peter, can you establish the Christian church? Peter, can you be faithful to a martyr's death? Jesus didn't ask any of those questions. There was only one question. It was the only question that Peter needed to answer. It has always been the only question that children of God need to answer. And tonight, this is the only question that Jesus wants you to answer. Do you love me? That's it. And you may feel when you're listening to the preacher and he's talking about stewardship and he's talking about finances and he's challenging your faith and he's saying, let's all take a further step this year in our giving and in our offerings and in our faith promise. You might feel like, wow, the Lord is saying to me, can you make this sacrifice? Can you achieve this extra step? But remember, that is not at all what Jesus is asking you. All he's asking you at a time like that is, do you love me? That's it. That's all. That is the only question you need to answer. And even today, in a preaching service like this one, Jesus is still speaking to us and just simply saying, do you love me? And it may be that you feel just exactly the way that Peter felt in this conversation. You say, Lord, you know me. You know that I wish I loved you a whole lot more deeply, but you know that I love you. I just wish I loved you more. Well, that's okay. You can tell that to Jesus. That's what Peter said. Love Jesus honestly. You don't need to ask yourself tonight, do I have sufficient strength to carry through on the great task that God is calling me to do? Do I have sufficient spirituality to take great steps of faith? That's not the question. Do you love me? That's the question. Number two, obey Jesus immediately. Obey Jesus immediately. Well, what was Jesus' reply when Simon Peter answered and he said, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. What did Jesus say to him? Again, did Jesus say to him, okay, you love me? I want you to do great exploits. Okay, you love me? I want you to go to a martyr's death. You love me? I want you to establish the Christian church. No. He said, you love me? Feed my sheep. That's it. Obey Jesus immediately. Just do what you know Jesus wants you to do today. Don't worry about your ministry in the future. Don't worry about how life is going to shake out for you. Don't worry about any of that. What does Jesus want you to do right now? Let me ask you about your 40-day challenge. Is there anybody in this room sitting in any of these seats tonight who can complete your 40-day challenge today? No. Then I ask you, how does a person complete a 40-day challenge? How does a person complete a 40-day challenge? One day at a time. You can't obey yesterday. You can't obey tomorrow. You know what you can do? You can obey today. You can obey today. How do you complete a 40-day challenge? Obey today. That's how you complete a 40-day challenge. How are you going to live a life faithful unto death? Obey today. Obey today. Can you deny yourself today? Can you take up your cross daily? Can you follow Jesus today? Do that. Do that. Nobody here can promise that we're going to be a faithful martyr tomorrow. Nobody here can promise that we're going to have an amazing story such as the ones I just read to you. We can't promise that, but what we can do is we can say no to ourselves today. We can obey Jesus today. We can be faithful right now. Obey Jesus immediately. Peter, you're not supposed to be fishing. I called you to be a fisher of men. What are you doing here, Peter? Feed my sheep. That's what you know you ought to be doing. Just do that. And finally, number three, focus on Jesus exclusively. How can I be faithful unto death? How can I be sure to follow on in following Jesus now that I've made some kind of commitment to take an initial step in following Jesus? Here are the steps. Love Jesus honestly. Let me say that again. Love Jesus honestly. Obey Jesus immediately. And number three, focus on Jesus exclusively. I've read commentators on Peter's question here regarding John, the beloved apostle. Peter asked, well, what about John over here? What's he going to do? And I read four different commentaries this afternoon on this text, and I came up with six or seven different opinions about why Peter asked this question. The fact is, regardless of what Peter was thinking or what Peter's motivation was in asking the question, the answer is clear and direct. The answer to the question is, follow me. Follow me. Peter, you don't need to worry about John. Follow me. And that's the same message you and I need to remember today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about yesterday. Follow me today. Don't worry about the other guy who seems like he gets every one of his prayers answered. Don't worry about this gal over here who has such an amazing and dynamic ministry for the Lord. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about this guy's standards or that family's failures or this family's successes. Worry about none of that. Follow me. Jesus is reminding Peter here, you know what, Peter? You are not called to live the life of John. You are called to live the life of Christ. Follow me. Peter, you are not called to figure out the life of Peter. You are called to live the life of Christ. Follow me. Focus on Jesus exclusively. Here's why that's so important, because 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. These amazing stories that I've been reading to you, do you think it was these men and their great faith that made all the difference? Not really. It was Jesus. It was Jesus. The grace of God working within them, the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling them, and Jesus leading them. Simply follow Jesus and he will do it. Can we not only follow Jesus, but follow on? We've made commitments here in this church, which is right and proper. We've made decisions to follow Jesus. The question tonight is simply this: will we follow on? Will we follow on? Will we continue to follow in those footsteps now that we've started? Peter did. And I conclude with this. According to 2 Peter chapter 1, when Peter wrote that epistle, he was aware that his life was coming to a close. He said, "The Lord has showed me that I must leave this body, that I must go to death." We don't know exactly how that happened, that Jesus made Peter aware that he was about to be killed at that time. But an ancient writer named Hegesippus, may not be pronouncing that correctly, but this ancient writer wrote about the death of Peter. And he said that this is how it came about, that Peter was made aware by the Lord that he was about to be put to death. He was in the city of Rome at the time. The persecution against the Christians was growing more and more intense to the point that it became obvious to everyone that the emperor Nero was going to apprehend Peter and put him to death. Well, Peter's Christian friends urged Peter to leave the city so that he could continue his ministry elsewhere. And as Peter was leaving the city of Rome, he was walking through the gates on his way out. According to this ancient author, he says that Peter had a vision of the Lord Jesus. As Peter was walking out the gates of the city, he saw the Lord walking in. And he said, "Lord, why are you coming into this city?" And the story is that the Lord replied and said, "I am coming here to be put to death." And Peter paused and reflected and turned right back around and followed the Lord right back into the city that he had just escaped from. And he was, in fact, apprehended and put to death. Whatever the reality may have been, we do know this: Peter ended his life walking with Jesus. He not only committed to follow Jesus, but he followed on. And he could say, not only, "I have decided to follow Jesus, but for me, there is no turning back." Jesus said, "Follow me. Follow thou me." Let's bow together for prayer. Let's just take a quiet moment for reflection. And I'll allow the Lord to speak to our hearts through his example, through his word, and through his command here: follow me. Maybe that you've made a commitment to follow the Lord, but now the question is, will you continue? Will you follow on, or will you go back? And we just want to have a moment for invitation. I don't know that we can take long, but just want to give an opportunity that way. So why don't we do this? Let's just stand together with our heads still bowed in a spirit of prayer. And we'll ask the piano to play a verse or two of a hymn. As heads are bowed, as we're reflecting on this and just praying,